I am excited to be back. I missed you. I was on vacation. Can't wait to share with you something that I'm seeing that's a trend that's actually really bothering me. It's disturbing me. I'm helping companies start to implement AI into their people, and I see three mistakes that are commonly being made, and it's all between the ears. I can't wait to share this with you. They're very simple and actionable, and then once you see them, it'll blow you away because it's so easy to get past them. So I wanted to share that with you today on the episode. Look forward to having you in here and look forward to being back with you.
How do you grow like a VC-backed company without taking on investors? Do you want to create a lifestyle business, a performance business, or an empire? How do you scale to an exit without losing your freedom? Those are the questions, and this show is the answer.
9% of people are making these three simple mistakes with AI right now. I'm seeing it as I'm helping companies implement this. And the weird thing is it has nothing to do with prompting. It has nothing to do with the model. And it has nothing to do with the company. So today I am going to share with you what those three common mistakes are, how to overcome them, and then once again, flip that from being the 99% that are doing it wrong or falling behind to the 1% that are surpassing and flying by everyone by becoming superhuman. So I'm Ryan Staley. If you haven't met me before, I am basically obsessed with AI and integrating that into business and how we can help people become superhuman and do things that they've never been able to do before. What I'm going to go over today is, once again, those three areas that I told you about that are killing the use cases with it and why people are falling behind. And so just to kind of kick things off, I mean, I was tasked to start a business unit, and this was some time ago. This is probably, I don't know, maybe 2013, 2014, something along those lines. And one of the things that I got asked to do was start a team from scratch, a go-to-market from scratch, and basically build a group that was selling really large recurring revenue contracts for managed services solutions. So we competed with, in red ocean markets, there's like lots of competition with like HP and Lexmark, and we were an unknown. And so it was a pretty big task to make that happen. And so one of the things that I had to do is build a team from scratch. And so when I built that team, I actually got to borrow some other reps that I managed before, get them on board with it, and then eventually transition them into enterprise sales reps, which would take anywhere from 9 to 12 months to close a deal. So a lot of patience, a lot of grit, a lot of tenacity that happened. And so one of the things that, if you look at it, the success that happened was we were able to grow that team from zero to those four people with no go-to-market, no really large customers that we have, to $30 million in recurring revenue in like 5.5 years. And there's only four core salespeople that we leverage. And this is what the salespeople consisted of effectively. We had one that was more of a grinder, right? A high activity, constantly hitting those metrics, really, really focused on the tactical details. I had an analytical thinker, so great for expansion and upsell. I had one that was more of a deep relationship builder, right? Specifically with new prospects. And then I had another that was a newbie who was really open to coaching, had some sales experience, but nothing related to what we were doing or the size of the deals that we were working on. So that was the four strengths of the team if you look at it by individual. On top of it, now what happened was all those people did have, you know, strengths that made them do really well in certain areas. However, those strengths, everybody knows this, like your biggest strengths can also become your biggest weaknesses. So everyone had a different weakness, just like I do, that offset their strength. And so kind of the way I look at AI is very similar to that, is you have to understand their strength, you have to maximize it, and then adjust where they're weak and complement what you're doing with where they're weak, and then vice versa, leverage it where it's strong and you're weak, right? So it's kind of like a balancing act when you're looking at it. And so I think it was really critical to kind of frame things up that way, because if you look at it, the reason why we were highly successful as a team is because I had to be different things to different people at different times, right? And so that's the same thing when you're working with AI models. You don't work on a flat line. Now, I created a little visual. This is very raw, right? But I wanted to show you this. Like, can you see this? If you're listening on my podcast, this is a visual where if you want to see the visual, jump on YouTube. There's a lot of things like that that I'm doing. So here, I'll even put it in front of it. Basically, what this is this is a like a chart or a graph that I created where if you look at it, there's an x-axis and a y-axis, right? I have, you know, basically number of possible solutions or number of problems solved, I should say. And then I have time, length of time on the other one. So what you're going to see here is basically as we go through, there's two lines on this. There's one that's a straight arrow line going, you know, from left to right. And then there's another that's more like peaks and valleys where it goes up high, it goes up low. So it solves a ton of problems sometimes, but then it doesn't on others. And then it blows it away. Then it's like a jagged edge, right? And that's the way that AI is. If you look at this, right? Specifically, when we say AI, I'm talking about ChatGPT, I'm talking about Claude, I'm talking about Gemini, I'm talking about Microsoft Copilot. So the large language models, now there's plenty of other models out there that you could use, like Perplexity as well, but they're going to do certain things really good and then other things they're going to struggle with, all right? Now, what most people are used to is this straight line, a SaaS solution, right? Where basically they use a tool and the tool works the same way every single time. It's predictable and it has that one specific narrow focus job that it does, or it could be, you know, more complicated or involved for enterprise software. But if we look at AI, it's going to do numerous different jobs from a general purpose perspective, as you can see here, some amazing, some it doesn't do so good. And the weird thing about it is the expectations that people have are that it does everything amazing. Now, what I'm going to get into are the three mistakes that people are making, but I wanted to kick it off and show you that, because that's that key understanding of how to use it, that it's not going to be a straight line going across. There's going to be tests that it's amazing at and then tests that it's not so good at, is going to be some of the keys to the castle. So here's what I say the three core mistakes that people are making today. Number one, okay, you expect it to act like software, right? That's not the case. You need to expect it to act like a person, right? And as weird as that sounds, it's not a person. It's not sentient. However, the way that it's designed, there was a paper created called, on attention. Basically, attention is all you need. I think it was in 2017 by some of the founders of Google DeepMind and some of the other brilliant minds within AI. And effectively, what it did is it changed that general purpose transformer technology. Instead of just looking at, like, the early GPTs would look at all the numbers and letters the same, or tokens, if you will, instead of it calls attention to certain different areas to create context from what it's learning on and focusing on to create really good outputs, okay? So what's number one, the mistake is expected to act like software, instead acted to act like a person, right? Like an intern, like an intern that can do certain things really well and other things not very well. Just like the example I gave when I kicked things off, okay? Number two. The second biggest mistake that people make are expecting to know who it is, right? You can't expect the AI to understand who it is when it's answering questions for you. You have to tell it who it is, right? And the ways that you could do that are by telling it to act like a specific person, tell it to act like a specific person with experience or title or role, and to act like a certain person or experience that's done certain things, okay? If you give it that context, it's ultimately going to move into that in terms of the focus or the attention mechanism. And it's going to start really, really like creating better, higher quality outputs. So that's mistake number two. Mistake number three, expect it to perform amazing at everything. But in reality, it can't do simple things like math, right? But it can do amazing complex business plans, data analysis, and graphics, okay? So you can expect it to perform amazing at everything today. Now, today is literally going to be the weakest, like slowest, worst version of AI that you're ever going to use. So at this foundational model, even if you can understand and get a lot out of it, it's going to continue to get better and better and better and better, right? But for where we're at right now, it's not going to be able to do everything amazing. And that's why I looked at everything like across different models, like that OpenAI uses, that Microsoft provides, that basically Amazon, that Google provides, right? And that's why I'm looking at Claude. That's why I'm looking at ChatGPT. That's why I'm looking at Gemini. That's why I'm looking at Microsoft Copilot, because all these models have different strengths and weaknesses that I've noticed actually. Once again, going back to that example that I gave with the team that I have, you have to look at AI like your own personal team as well, where some models are going to be very good at one thing and they're going to be very bad at others, right? And by using that and having that understanding, that expectation, you are going to stop, like everybody else, falling into those three common mistakes. And what happens and why those mistakes are so deadly is because they fall into that. They have those expectations. Because those expectations aren't met, they stop using it. And because they stop using it, they fall behind. And because they stop using it and they fall behind, they're letting everybody blow right by them. Because this is happening faster than anything else ever in our lifetime. and it's expected to have results that are better than mobile, PC, and internet all combined just by one single use of, or I should say, one single movement or opportunity through AI. So that's pretty much it. So once again, if we're talking about the solution, this is how I would handle it. This is an alien solution, not a SaaS solution, right? Act like a person. It's going to do some amazing, some poor. Tell it how to act and the length and formal response. Log what it does well for you and what it doesn't do well, right? And you don't have to be crazy like me and jump across a bunch of different models. You could just stay with the one model that you have and document this and understand that. And even if you do that, you are going to blow by everybody else and not fall into that trap that most do, okay? So I hope this was helpful for you today. I wanted to share this with you because this is a psychological pattern that I see people that are falling into that's stopping them from literally using one of the most powerful things that we've ever had in terms of mankind. And it just kills me inside because, like, if you could free up like 10 hours a week, like how amazing would that be? Or if you could just offload to an AI intern, like the things that you hate about your job and do the things that you love doing, like how cool would that be, right? And all this has downstream effects with like you as a person, like spending more time with your family and your relationships and just enjoying life and experience in general. And that's why I get passionate about it. I think it could do that. I'm blown away by the things it's allowed me to do or enabled me to do. And I can't wait to share all these things with you as I learn them as we go through. So thanks for joining me today on this episode or on this video if you're watching on YouTube. And I look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Thank you for checking out the Scale Up Show. My mission in life is to help founders and revenue leaders avoid all the pain and suffering in revenue growth so they can flip it and create a life of their own design. So if you enjoyed this show, please like, review, share it on social, and more importantly, just share it with a friend. Share it with someone that you think could learn and benefit from what you heard on today. But the more we get the message out, the more people we could help, the bigger the impact we make, and the bigger the community gets, which helps everybody. So once again, thank you for being a loyal listener. I appreciate you and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.